Greetings, those who are walking with Jesus this month. It's Pastor Bob, and it's the Sabbath morning after a long night of baptismal rains. The ground is wet, but the birds are out, and it's a beautiful morning with just some clouds in the sky, and it's going to be a wonderful Sabbath. It's May 3rd, which means it's episode 3 of our Mark in May, walking through the Gospel of Mark together, Mark in May. Here's what Jesus has to say to us this morning. Listen to his word. He says, "You cannot serve two masters. If I am truly your master, you will desire to please me above all others. If pleasing people is your goal, you will be enslaved to them. People can be harsh taskmasters when you give them this power over you. If I am the master of your life, I will also be your first love. Your serving me is rooted and grounded in my vast, unconditional love for you. The lower you bow down before me, the higher I lift you up into intimate relationship with me. The joy of living in my presence outshines all other pleasures. I want you to reflect my joyous light by living in increasing intimacy with me." Amen. Now that's someone, those are words from someone we want to get to know and know more of and be closer to and get all we can get of. And so we turn to the Gospel of Mark. And the primary source for getting to know who Jesus is the Word, the written Word, the Gospels. And the first Gospel written is Mark. So let's start there. I've got the candle going this morning. The aroma is strong, the sandalwood and vanilla aromatherapy. I've got a double-bagged cup of tea with the classic chamomile and the throat coat from Traditional Medicinals. Probably be doing a little talking today with a Facebook Live service at 10, so I went with some throat coat. We'll see how that's steeping right now. That is just perfect. We've walked through chapter 1 together. There was a lot of things crammed into one chapter, wasn't it? But now we're ready for chapter 2. And what chapter 2 is known for is it's fairly short compared to chapter 1. We'll do the whole chapter today. And it begins 4 of the 5 immediate conflicts Jesus confronts. They're known as the 5 conflicts. The 5th one is actually verses 1 through 6 of chapter 3. But chapter 2 is the first 4 of these conflicts that Jesus will create because of who he is and what he stands for. So let's walk through it together. Here's chapter 2, verse 1. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by 4 of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Stand up and take your mat and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We have never seen anything like this. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, Follow me. And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard this, he said to them, Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And people came and said to him, Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak, otherwise the patch pulls away from it, and new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God with Abiathar, was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And that's chapter 2 of the Gospel of Mark. Well, how does it feel having now gone through 2 chapters? Are you starting to spend some quality time with the Holy Spirit and let the words that lift off the page and into your ears land on your heart and give meaning to you from what the Holy Spirit has to say to you? Well, let's go through it one more time, and then I'll leave you to the gospel yourself. I mentioned these chapter 2 begins a series of conflicts and challenges, right? And each little section of chapter 2 and in the first part of chapter 3 is one of the 5 conflicts. That first conflict is verses 1 through 12 when Jesus heals the paralytic, right? What a great, great story of friends sacrificing for a friend in need. There's a lot to preach on there. But remember, with the power that this is about, the conflict is about whether Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And we hear this story. And he's called out for forgiving the sins of the paralytic man. But here clearly Jesus shows he has the power of spiritual healing as well, a power understood to belong only to God. So that's the first conflict. Jesus brings the power of God to earth. Secondly, the second conflict involves the kind of people whom Jesus collects as his disciples and hangs out with and spends time with and even eats with. These are not acceptable people to those who are Jews. And in fact, they're some of the worst kinds of scoundrels that one might find themselves being stuck with. But Jesus chooses to spend time with them. We get the calling of Levi in verse 13 all the way through verse 17. And Jesus finally explains to those who are questioning who he's calling as disciples and spending time with. He says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." And you see the double meaning, almost sarcasm, in that statement, that indeed it's the Pharisees and those other Jews who are holier than thou that are really sick. And it will take some time for many of them to realize it before they come to Jesus, and some never will. The power of Jesus is that he came for all people. He doesn't divide people into classes or by the labels they wear, but he came for all people because all people need that remedy that he brings. Amen. So the third conflict was this eating and drinking with tax collectors. And that's a conflict that's part of the second conflict, I guess, because eating is a very sacred act in the Jewish religion. And who you eat with and where you sit at the table and how you cleanse for that is very, very important in that religion. And yet Jesus seems to plop down on the picnic table and eat with anybody and dig right in and enjoy the company. So again, a power conflict that he's created. Right? The third conflict involves fasting. Remember the whole idea of verses 18 through 22. John's disciples fasted and the Pharisees fast. Well, why doesn't Jesus' disciples fast? And he explained to us, there's still work to be done. It's not a time for fasting for Jesus and his disciples. But the time will come when there will be time for fasting. But this is not it. Jesus and his disciples have work to do on earth, and they're pursuing their calling by God. And the fourth conflict, of course, is the Sabbath. So here the Sabbath really has two parts. We get in chapter 2 the first part of this conflict. The disciples, as they are walking their way through grain fields on the Sabbath, are plucking at the grain heads in the field to eat. And this just shows us how strict, I guess, the laws are about the Sabbath for the Jews. You're not supposed to be out walking through the grain fields and plucking grain heads on the Sabbath. In fact, no work is to be done on the Sabbath. From sunset on Friday till sunset on Saturday, it was a time for prayer and rest and no work to be done. And here Jesus and his disciples are out trampling through the field, eating the grain. So that became a power conflict, and as Jesus ends this chapter, again we're reminded that Jesus is a universal Christ. Just as earlier in this chapter, the power conflict is about who he hangs around with and who he came to call, and the answer to that is every single person. And now this conflict is about what Jesus has authority over, and it's every single thing. And he, indeed, is Lord of everything, including, that's right, the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath. Thus concludes chapter 2 and our episode for today. I hope you and the Holy Spirit had a good walk through that chapter, and we begin to discover those conflicts that Jesus is going to be faced with all through his ministry. They're already showing up in bunches. And tomorrow we'll move on to chapter 3 and see if we can't get that whole chapter in on tomorrow. Don't forget, if you're getting this in the morning, at 10 o'clock on Facebook Live is our Sunday Sabbath worship service live with special guests Jeff Boyer and Caroline Van Osdahl. And a really, really special surprise regarding our piano music. So I encourage you to tune in for that. Until then, God bless you, and God bless the hearing of the word of Jesus.